here in the presence of us all here as well. So we're glad for all. So this morning I'd like for us to turn to Acts chapter 2. I'd like to read Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 41. And after reading that, we will begin to examine the scripture there. So Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 22 through verse 41. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. It says, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. And God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says of him, 'I was always beholding the Lord in my presence, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh also will abide in hope, because thou wilt not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou wilt make me full of gladness with thy presence. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants upon his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself.' And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' So then those who had received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." Amen to the reading of God's word. So with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the promises of Joel, John the Baptist, and Jesus were being fulfilled. As foretold by Joel and John, a time of judgment and salvation was at hand. After explaining the meaning of the miraculous events on the day, Peter quickly diverted their attention from the miracles to the message. A message involving a crucified, risen, and exalted Lord. So with Peter's message, we find the proclamation of what we call the first gospel sermon. For the first time, the gospel of Christ was being preached, and people were told how to respond. So let's take a closer look at, first of all, the sermon. So with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the promises of Joel, John the Baptist, and Jesus were being fulfilled. As foretold by Joel and John, a time of judgment and salvation was at hand. After explaining the meaning of the miraculous events on that day, the Apostle Peter quickly diverted their attention from the miracles to the message, a message involving a crucified, risen, and exalted Lord. So with Peter's message, we find the proclamation of the first gospel sermon. For the first time, the gospel of Christ was being preached, and people were told how to respond to that gospel message. So let's take a closer look at, first of all, the sermon that was preached. Jesus attested by who? He was attested by God. Peter proclaims Jesus as a man attested by God through his miracles, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 22. All of this was done in their midst. They could not deny the signs Jesus did while he was alive, while they were alive and while they were there. We are reminded of how Jesus raised a man from the dead named Lazarus in John chapter 11. And we saw how the religious leaders were responding to it. They wanted to capture Jesus. If you read on in John chapter 11 and even in chapter 12. If we were to turn over to John chapter 11 beginning at verse 39, we'll see what that response was. Let's turn our Bibles over there if you will. John chapter 11 beginning at verse 39. Look at their response. Let's kind of get into that story there. In John chapter 11, beginning at verse 39. Here it says, Jesus said, "Remove the stone." They were at the tomb of Lazarus. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" And so they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people standing around, I said it, that they may believe that thou didst send me." And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." I don't know how Jesus said it. I just know that Lazarus obeyed. He who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many, therefore, of the Jews who had come to Mary and beheld what he had done believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. Therefore, the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, "What are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But a certain one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation should not perish." Now this he did not say on his own initiative, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation. And not for the nation only, but that he might also gather together into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they planned together to kill him. Jesus therefore no longer continued to walk publicly among the Jews, but went away from there to the country near the wilderness into a city called Ephraim. And there he stayed with the disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and many went up to Jerusalem out of the country before the Passover to purify themselves. Therefore they were seeking for Jesus and were saying to one another as they stood in the temple, "What do you think, that he will not come to the feast at all?" Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it that they might seize him. So Jesus was definitely attested to people by God, by all the miracles that he had done. They knew that Jesus had raised a man from the dead after 4 days. After 4 days, he was dead. But he raised him from the dead. They knew Jesus had resurrection power, but they still wanted to seize Jesus. If it was me, I would have left Jesus alone. Have you ever seen anybody raised from the dead before? Have you ever seen it? I mean, if I saw somebody raising somebody from the dead, I want to hang out with Jesus, but the last thing I would want to do is seize him or handcuff him or put him in prison or even yet kill him. But that shows you the severity of the mind of sin. That's why Jesus had to die, because of how serious sin really is. Sin is deceptive. Because if you try to kill a man that raised somebody from the dead, there must be something wrong with you. There's got to be something wrong with you, and sin is what was wrong with those people, amen? Sin is terrible, and that's why Jesus had to die. But Jesus definitely was attested by God through miracles, amen? The sermon also talks about Jesus was put to death. He was put to death by crucifixion, which they themselves did with lawless hands, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Though according to God's predetermined purpose and foreknowledge, according to Isaiah 53, verses 10 through 12, Jesus' death and their involvement, they could not deny. All the people that Peter was preaching to on that day, they knew what Peter was preaching was true, amen? They knew it, even though it was only 50 days or so ago. They recognized that Jesus was, in fact, the Son of God. Amen? They knew it. Man, I would just wish that I was there to be able to see Jesus doing miracles, raising Lazarus from the dead, turning water into wine, healing the sick, doing all sorts of miracles, casting out demons, doing all of these wonderful miracles and signs. I wonder if I would have followed Jesus. Or I wonder if I would be so sin sick that I would be just like the Pharisees wanting to seize Jesus. We continue on as we look at the reading of Acts chapter 2. It says that Jesus was raised from the dead. God raised Jesus, having loosed the pains of death. And Peter offered three proofs that Jesus rose from the dead. He first of all uses David's prophecy, which was fulfilled by Jesus. The prophecy was from Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11. Let's turn our Bibles back there, if you will. Psalm chapter 16. Psalm chapter 16, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. This is the prophecy of David that Peter is utilizing to show that it was proof that Jesus would rise from the dead. Over in Psalm chapter 16, beginning at verse 8, he says, I have set the Lord continually before me, because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely, for thou wilt not abandon my soul to Sheol, or my soul to death, neither wilt thou allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. Amen. And then verse 11. Thou wilt make known to me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forever. And so the Apostle Peter there uses the proof text or of the prophecy of David being fulfilled in Jesus, because God raised him from the dead. The eyewitnesses' testimony by the 12 apostles. We look over at Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Another example that the apostle uses as proof that Jesus rose from the dead. Let's look over there at Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. He says there in Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, he says, it is therefore necessary that the men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these should become a witness with us of his what? Of whose resurrection? Jesus' resurrection, not Lazarus' resurrection, not anybody else's, but Jesus' resurrection. And a final proof that the Apostle Peter uses is looking at Acts chapter 2, verse 33, the outpouring of the Spirit, which the audience themselves saw and heard. But looking at Acts chapter 2, verse 33, he says, therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. These are compelling evidence to those who were present. Everybody knew that everything Peter was saying was true. Because if it wasn't true, they could have said, Peter, that's wrong. They could have stoned Peter for being a false prophet, for speaking falsely, but there weren't anybody that was trying to stop Peter from preaching that day, was it? There wasn't anybody. Jesus was exalted as Lord in Christ. The outpouring of the Spirit was the result of Jesus' exaltation, Acts 2:33. Jesus' exaltation was also prophesied by David, as we already saw, Acts chapter 2, verse 34 and 35. Thus the crucified Jesus was now Lord and Christ. So powerfully, effectively, Peter presented Jesus as a good man who was crucified, raised from the dead, and now exalted as both Lord and Christ. As we continue, let's notice the response, the reaction. They were cut to the heart. They were convicted of their sins, Acts 2:37. This implies that they believed the message about Jesus. As told, know assuredly that God has made Jesus both Lord and Christ. It's all right. I love that. I love that. That was amen. That was amen. I just love that. I love to hear the babies. Amen. Keep bringing the babies. Amen. Keep bringing the babies. That is just all right. That was an amen. Praise God for the babies. Thank you, those that bring the babies. They asked Peter and the apostles, what shall we do? Acts 2:37. Indeed, what can one do? What should one do? Some say there is nothing that one can do, for that would suggest salvation by works. But obedience is not inconsistent with salvation by faith. Indeed, Christ is the author of salvation to all who obey. Thus the gospel must be obeyed. Even as Paul was told to go to Damascus, where he would be told what he must do. If we look over at Acts chapter 22, verse 6, we see what the apostle was told before he was baptized. Because we know the apostle, he went and fasted for how many days? How many days did the apostle Paul fast before he was baptized? He fasted for 3 days, I believe. He fasted and he prayed, but he still wasn't saved. Amen? That's what old Marshall Keeble would say. He fasted and he prayed and he still wasn't saved. He still wasn't saved. But look at Acts chapter 22, verse 6. Verse 16, I believe. But he says, and now why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. In other words, calling on the name of the Lord. The correct reference is Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Amen. He had to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The reply that Peter gave them that day when they asked, what must we do? He told them to repent. Amen. He told them that they needed to repent, which is what Jesus wanted his apostles to proclaim. We look over at Luke chapter 24, verse 46 through 47. Luke chapter 24, verse 46 through 47. Luke chapter 24, verse 46 through 47. It says, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So they were told to repent. And then, of course, in Acts 2:38, they were told to be baptized, which is what Jesus wanted his apostles to do, was to tell people that they needed to be baptized or to be immersed in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sins, as is found in Acts 22:16. And the purpose of them also being baptized is that they might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And so what was the result of all of this that day? Following further exhortation, he said, be saved from this perverse generation, Acts 2:40. And of course, as a result, those were baptized. It said it was about 3,000 people gladly received his word and were baptized, according to Acts 2:41. Those baptized were added by the Lord to his church, Acts 2:47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So what an amazing conclusion to a day that started with an amazing event. The people thought that the apostles were drunk, but they were not drunk that day. Peter said it was just 9 o'clock in the morning. People don't get drunk that early in the morning, at least back then on the first century. It wasn't the custom. There may have been some that may have. But he says, in general, that is not the case. That was not the case. But there were 3,000 souls that responded to the gospel message. When the gospel is shared, what should people do? People should believe, know assuredly with conviction that Jesus is the Lord who died for them. A person should repent of their sins, make the decision to turn from sin and turn to God, and then be baptized for the remission of sins and the receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 39. Now, the question is this morning is that what you were told to do when the gospel of Christ was shared with you, or were you told a different type of gospel? To ensure that you are truly saved, make your response the same as those souls on the day of Pentecost. In Acts 2:41, it says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Amen. Whatever your need is this morning, won't you make it plain? If you want to obey the gospel, come on down to the front. We have a card in the pew in front of you. You can mark there that you want to study the Bible or you want to talk about being baptized. Put it on that card. Amen. Whatever your need is, why don't you make it plain by coming to the front or filling out that card as together we stand and sing the song that has been selected.